Hello and welcome to the Geek Embassy Watches Game of Thrones. I'm your host, Regina McMenemy, and I'm here with Isabella and Nicole. And we are going to talk about episode 6 of season 7. So any of you who have been listening know we did 3 episodes last time, so we're doing the exact opposite this time. After Nicole and Isabella watched the show, I hadn't even watched it. It was decided that we were going to do one episode for this because there's just too much that happened.
You know, it was funny. Last week, some of our friends from Chicago were in town because they went to Oregon to see the eclipse. They stopped at Seattle first. Mm-hmm. And they're really big Game of Thrones fans, too. And so I was talking about, like, recording a Game of Thrones podcast. And Isaac, my husband's like, yeah, she did it for 2 hours.
That's nothing.
Hey!
That's nothing.
I know. When we finished recording, I was like, I literally am dead on my feet here. Yeah. It was fun.
It was. I could talk about Game of Thrones forever.
Yeah.
Like, once it's done, like, over, I'll be able to talk about it forever.
Yeah. 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 We'll have to have when we're done doing the shows about the episodes, I think we should do what we think is going to happen in season 7. Mm-hmm. and then compare it when they actually start, you know, releasing production photos and stuff, when it gets closer, and compare our initial thoughts to what ends up kind of coming to fruition.
Yeah, so, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll plan that. All right. So we have Beyond the Wall, as we know from the episode before this, the 5th episode. They had a cockamamie plan to get a ragtag band of adventurers together and bring a right back to prove to Daenerys and Cersei that the White Walkers were real.
Yes.
Worst
plan
ever. Worst plan ever. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just as a fair warning, even though this is a recap show, we're going to spoil the entire episode. So if you haven't watched it, you know, sorry. That was from the last week's episode, though, so I don't feel too bad about warning you now. But we are going to talk about the entire episode. So there were so many memes about them, like, the D&D group venturing out.
Yeah, there was a YouTube parody about the A-Team.
Mm-hmm.
That had them all to that.
That was hilarious. I watched that one too. And there was just so many jokes, so many, you know, funny things that people were saying about it. So we get to see that happen. And that was interesting.
It was really cool to see all those characters together that have never been together. So,
Well, that's kind of one of the things that happened this whole season that I think I've really appreciated is seeing the intersections of characters, which we're going to continue seeing through the finale with Daenerys and Cersei sort of holding court, which I was super suspicious about. All right.
We're not there yet.
I know. We're not there yet. I guess there's I'm looking at the same fandom Wikipedia wiki that we looked at last week, and we're going to follow the episode guide. That is our guide. So thanks to everybody who's writing on Game of Thrones wiki hosted by Fandom, because we're very liberally using your summaries. So we pretty much just have Winterfell and then the White Hunt. So
there was no King's Landing, anything. I'm always watching the beginning credits to look for the actors. And it like jumped right into Emilia Clarke after Peter Dinklage. I'm like, oh, no King's Landing.
Yeah, we get like 5 seconds of Dragonstone, and so that doesn't really count.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then so it's just the Winterfell story and then the white search or whatever, the hunt they're calling it here. So let's start with Winterfell because it's a little less dramatic and there's a little less stuff to talk about.
Is it though? Is it less dramatic?
I was gonna say it's pretty dramatic.
It depends on your definition, I suppose. So why do you think it was dramatic, Isabella?
It was just like the worst sister fight in history
ever. Like, get over yourself.
I was like, you guys have literally faced death like 10 times each.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're arguing about a letter.
About who did it better.
Sansa wrote like,
yeah,
how many years ago now, when she was like a kid, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And knew nothing about what was happening and was, you know, literally abandoned on her own in King's Landing, you know. It's totally unfair. But,
and
you know.
Forced to write, by the way. Like that.
Yes. Yes.
She had no choice.
Yeah. And he knew that. Littlefinger knew that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get how that terrible plan like actually led to conflict, because there's just a dumb Littlefinger plan.
Let's get some infighting going and stir it up and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that was his goal. It was so funny too, and like I don't know why she's like confiding in him. Like she pulls him into the chamber and closes the door.
I know.
And I was like, she's like, I know exactly. She's like, how did you get it? And then you see him, like, he's not looking
he's
at her, but he's
away
like,
from her.
I don't know.
I don't know. Where did she come up with that? I planted it for her. I just wanted to punch his face. Just a little sniveling face in that moment. I'm like, you. And why is she? Yeah, that's the first thought I had too. Was like, why is she talking to him? Like, she knows. Like, she knows. She keeps telling everybody. Littlefinger doesn't give you something unless he wants something from you. She said those words to Bran when he gave him the dagger.
Yes.
Yeah, and then she goes and gives him exactly what he wants. Which
yes.
To fight with Arya and to send Bran away.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that she's all alone with him.
Yeah. And that
Brienne, she shouldn't trust.
Right. Well, and I didn't understand why she sent Brienne away either, because he was saying, you know, she would be the only one that could come, you know, to protect them.
Right. I kind of think, though, maybe we're all thinking Sansa's a little more innocent than she is, and maybe she is the one that's going to hurt Arya.
Oh.
Okay, but maybe. She found and then actual Arya gave human her the dagger. Faces.
I know.
Yes. You can't argue with that.
But Arya did give her the dagger at the end of that scene.
Which I'm like, I don't really know how to read that.
I don't know how to read that either. Yeah. I don't know how to read the, like, usually I get like a bead on what's coming from a scene. Mm-hmm. But I just cannot pinpoint what's going to happen between the two of them.
I can only my only thing is that maybe Arya wants Sansa to kill Littlefinger herself with that dagger. That's the only like weird foreshadowing that I can draw from that, because why would she give it to her?
Yeah,
I don't
like
understand.
Yeah. I don't understand that either.
Yeah, usually I think I know what's going on, but I don't either.
Yeah.
My husband has been all like, it's like Arya has been sort of like almost godlike, sort of untouchable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he thinks that they're building that up for a huge fall for her, but I don't know either of them. I think both of them are a little bit more conniving than we thought they were ever.
And that could be, yeah. I mean, given what they've been through and given, you know, their experiences, I can see the manipulations training in the interactions they've had with people, and they don't trust each other, and Sansa shouldn't be trusting Arya. I mean, you know, she just shouldn't, because she doesn't know what game she's playing, and now that Baelish has gotten in her head to try to position her against him. I don't know. I'm just it's one of those things where, like, I know what Littlefinger wants out of it, because he wants them in fighting. That's been his whole goal. Staying there has been to get to pit them against each other, and that's working. So I'll be really happy if Sansa is the one that is playing everybody, if she's like set something up, which I was trying to remember. So when she sent Brienne away, it was just her and Brienne in the room, though, right? She didn't send her away with anybody watching her send her away. Because I've seen maybe she didn't really send her away. Maybe she'd be back. I don't know.
But it kind of looks like she did. I don't know. Well, because in the preview, there's a shot of someone from behind that kind of looks like it could be Brienne. I can't tell. They were like in shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have no clue.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. That whole thing was, I don't know. Like I said, this whole part of the storyline, like I said, I usually have an idea of where things are going, and I just don't. I don't have any fan theories. So, Gay, did you guys see anything? I didn't see anything about this.
No.
Other than an article that said that maybe Sansa should be running the Seven Kingdoms. And I didn't read it because it was before I'd watched the episode and I couldn't find it when I went back for it.
Oh. Yeah. No, this is the storyline that really has me baffled this time around.
I can't see what they're trying to do with it.
Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
We're going to find out.
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, they can't leave that hanging. That's just too much. You know, I have a feeling in the finale, we won't see what happened to Sam. I think we're done with Sam for the season. I don't think they'll come back to him, even though the way they have him set up leaving, they should go back to him, but I don't think they will. Yeah. Who else do I think we're not going to kind of return to? Oh, and you know what I wanted? Somebody pointed this out. This will get more into Daenerys and Jon, but Nicole, help me. Her female advisor, the one who speaks all the languages.
Oh, Missandei?
Yes, Missandei. She's gone.
Missandei,
We haven't seen her for like three episodes.
No, wait. I thought we saw her episode before last.
Yeah,
that would be
when John and all those guys took off. Yeah, she was
at the launch, and they had the conversation about what happened with Grey Worm. Yeah, and that was it. And we haven't seen her since then.
Hmm.
She hasn't, and she's not even in the background. She's not in any of the scenes when she wasn't on the beach when. Well, I guess she was.
She should have been.
Yeah, there's like three or four places she should have been. Because, I mean, she's been at her side since she, plucked her out and decided she was her, interpreter or whatnot. When she, uninslaved
her. I don't know. I guess she's just a character that I guess I just don't look for.
Yeah, that she's more,
But talking about things that we might not get to, do you think we're going to figure out, like, what's the deal is with the Unsullied? Are they just like stranded at Casterly Rock? Like
they're pictured in one of the previews, one of the upcoming episode pictures that have been released.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And
they were in the preview too.
Yeah. So because it showed Grey Worm putting his helmet on, I think, or taking his helmet off. I can't remember which, but they're pictured and I can't remember if it was Nerdist or BuzzFeed I was reading, said it's either like Highgarden or somewhere. There's a castle somewhere, and there's a picture of Bronn and Jaime on top of the castle looking out over the Unsullied.
Huh.
So
maybe they follow them there?
Maybe.
For some reason?
You know, the teleporters this season are strong.
I know. This is so specific.
It's not science fiction, but the teleporters and super fast flying raven.
Six seasons to cross the freaking sea, and now they're traversing the entire continent.
Isaac was talking to me about freezing to death.
Yeah, I know. He's like, how did that happen? I'm like, we were talking about before we started, like, how long does it take these ravens to fly? Mm-hmm. Apparently not very long at all.
Yeah. Well, my friend at work was really like stuck on that. About the raven, like getting there so fast.
Like, I'm like, and she flew the dragon back up the length of the continent to get to what?
I can get that. It's a giant supernatural creature, but a tiny raven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Between the two, I mean, those two things on top of each other, I'm just like compounding the time that it should have taken. Like, there's no way, like, six guys standing out with no food and no water.
To be fair, I think they were out there for like a night or something, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely. Like, if you look at sort of the, you know, the sky environment. So like when Gendry gets to the castle, it's very clearly like early evening. Mm-hmm. And then the next time we see the guys, it's morning. And then when Daenerys shows up, it's like approaching evening as
so
well.
It's like so, 2 days that they've been out on this rock or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think it's unheard of that they survived.
I'm more like less likely to believe Gendry like sprinting like a day's journey or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just watch them, like there's six shots of them like in between the rocks, like as they're the merry band of fools, like heading off on their adventure.
And they're going like over ice and he's just like sprinting just, like, to their way without
you're
dying.
The fastest.
Yeah.
I think they could have had at least one horse.
Yeah.
Right. I know. I don't know. They didn't bring a horse.
Yeah.
I guess they thought it would attract too much tension or something.
Yeah.
But honestly, you know, if we were stuck in that situation, I think I would probably run faster than I ever had in my life.
Yeah. I mean, your adrenaline, but you know, that's.
He does kind of drop dead at the end of that.
He does. Yeah. That was at least good.
Well, he did. He does kind of drop dead.
He just kind of falls and he's like, Raven! Daenerys! Raven and Daenerys, and then that's it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about. Okay, so we've obviously already gone into the hunting party. So there's two flaming swords in this fight.
Yeah,
yes, there are.
Right,
Thoros of Myr.
I was confused about.
And Beric Dondarrion. I'm not sure what they're doing with their flaming. Like, I read the books, it was a long time ago, and I know that Thoros of Myr was like a legend flaming sword. I mean, they talk about it a little bit, like when they were fighting the Ironborn.
Right.
Yeah. Jorah's like, you saw that flaming sword breaking through the breach and blah, blah, blah. And Thoros is like, I was drunk. I didn't, you know, know anything.
Like, I didn't remember. I had to have somebody tell me the next morning what I did. And I don't remember being there.
Yeah. So I think it's some type of red priestess magic thing that they do on the swords. Mm-hmm. Because way back in season. I don't know. Whenever Melisandre was with Stannis, and there's that little scene where his wife comes in and she shows her like all the vials that can do the potions and the smoke and all that. So I think it's probably something like that. That just
so they can just because they touch it first and they like it's
zip
almost
up.
Like the friction of it like gets it going. Because I know we had talked early on when the previews had happened. That you were thinking he was the famous guy from the legend because he had the flaming sword, but I figured that because there was some, it wasn't one sword and it wasn't a supernatural event that made it flaming. They took the time to show you that they lit them on fire and that they put them out by putting them in the snow.
Yeah.
So it had to have had something igniting it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can kind of rule them out as, or that.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, I don't know.
Although I guess now he is the only one with the sword, right?
Right.
With the flaming,
Yeah.
Because the other guy died.
Yes.
Okay. And the one who died was the one that was bringing him back all the time, right?
Yeah, he was the priest, the red priest. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thoros. Okay.
The priest died, The man bun. He's the guy with the man bun, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's how I knew him. Sorry, I know.
Yeah,
you know.
I just knew him as the really drunk one, giving everyone wine.
That's like in the first episode. You know, the Hound is like, "I don't like bald people. You think you're fooling anybody with that top knot?"
I love the Hound. I love that.
I know he's been so great this season. Like he's been the previous seasons, he was so sort of serious.
Yeah,
he's just complete comic relief.
Yeah, because he's just like the new Elena, right?
Yeah.
The tart. He's got the tart tongue.
Yeah,
which we've been enjoying. It was funny. Okay, so this was the first day of class, or the first day I taught was today. For school, and I had my students do like an introduction where they kind of get to know each other. And one of the questions I put up was favorite character from a TV show, movie, video game, or a book. yeah, is one of the things that they ask each other. And so I got so many Game of Thrones characters as favorites today. And it was really funny because I was laughing because I was like, Tyrion, and a bunch of people said Daenerys, and somebody said someone else. I can't remember who it was. And then finally someone said Jon Snow, and I'm like, oh, finally we get one for Jon Snow. It was like the last group.
Yeah.
I still don't get Jon's. I still don't appeal. Get
Jon. His appeal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like the emo band, like boy band member. Seriously. I mean,
he only finally did it for me when she was saying something like, I haven't given you permission to leave. And he just looked at her and said, I don't need your permission.
Yeah.
And that was the moment for me that turned it, because I was like, I feel like he's been this simpering kind of sad, you know,
never stands up for himself.
No, he gets put in these positions and he gets thrust into these leadership roles, which thank goodness he's good at.
Yeah,
but he doesn't seek out and you know, I get that that's kind of his theme or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, he's always just kind of been like, okay, you know, instead of like, oh, you're sending me to the wall because I'm a bastard, you know, okay, I guess I'm going to the wall, you know. And so he's always had that kind of, he's never had a backbone. And so that was why he never did it for me, is I was always like, okay, he's got it.
Well, I think when he first went to the wall, he had this sort of grand idea about what the Night's Watch was, and he was going to be a ranger and all that stuff. And it all just got,
you know,
shot to shit.
That's true.
But then since then, he's like not standing up for. I used to tell Isaac, I'm like, he's the, like, especially during season six when they're walking around to all of the northern houses, and he's like, you know, Lyanna Mormont just like, you know, rips into him, and he's like, he's asking everybody like, oh, please give us your troops, and they're like, no, and he just wouldn't stand up for himself. So like, I was saying to Isaac, like, you know what, he's kind of a wimp unless there's a sword in his hand, and then he's like crazy hero.
Yeah, that's so true. Because that was like his whole thing with Arya too, was like how close they were was because she wanted to fight and he wanted to help her.
Yeah.
So that was like their point of connection. So yeah, I think you're right. So I've always just been, he never really did it for me because he didn't have a backbone. And that was literally the first time I felt like he owned who he was and could just be like, I am who I am. And that's the transformation I've loved about Sansa as well, where I hated her in the beginning too, because she was a simpering teenager who was just like, I want to be pretty and I want to be popular and I want people to like me. And I'm like, let me punch you in the face and see how you like that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think that's where Arya is coming from though. You know, I mean, the last time she saw Sansa,
she still sees her as that. Yeah. I mean, it's the classic, like, conflict with who you become when you leave your family of origin, you know, and who they remember you to be, because you know, for a lot of people, they never get out of that, you know, having to see you as, like, I have a friend and he's like, oh, you know, I told my mom you were married, she couldn't believe you were so young and you got married, and I'm like you know, I'm not young anymore, I'm 16 than you, like, hello, when did this happen? It's like this idea that I'm still like 16 and in high school and I just got married, and I'm like, no, sorry. But that idea that you get trapped in time, and I think that that's part of what kind of was going on between the two of them, is they're still seeing each other, although I guess pulling the human faces out of a bag was a definite breaker of... I didn't know she carried the faces. Am I the only one who didn't know she carried the faces?
Yeah,
I assume she had to keep them somewhere.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
I thought that it was just like...
like she just whips them out of thin air?
Yeah, right, well, that it was just like magic. I mean, it's magic, right? And I didn't know she had to actually like wear their faces.
But in the House of Black and White, they store the faces on the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
you have to actually like take them down and use them.
But she goes through like, Vigar Morgulis, the guy who trained her, or who?
Jotun Hagar.
Him. That guy. You know the names. Yeah. I know none of the names. I fully admit to knowing none of the names. That guy. So when she confronts him at one point and she's like pulling the faces off, does that mean he had like a stack of faces on him? Like, I just thought there was some sort of magic that like became part of them. And so that they could just, you know, with their consciousness or whatever powers they had, they could just put the face forward. Yeah. So like they had killed X, you know, number of people. And so they had those faces at their access, not that they had to like, because that means like he had piled on like 10 faces.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like an advanced technique.
That's a level 10 feat.
He like expanded his face inventory.
Could be, but like, do you remember the scene I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. I think what you're talking about actually, that was sort of magical.
Okay.
But obviously the faces are, they're kind of magical anyhow, because it's not just the face. Like, she can transform into the whole person.
Right.
Like, and on one of the faces that Sansa pulled out was Walder Frey's, pretty sure.
Yeah, I was pretty sure of that as well. I don't know. I don't remember who the other one was. I couldn't tell if it was male or female.
Who would that be?
I don't know. I don't know if it was anybody, really.
I think it was the girl who served him the pie. Remember, she had dressed up as one of his servant girls him the pie, and I think that face, that would be the only other face that she would, that we know of, that she would have with her. She would have had to have killed that person to take the place and bake her kids into the pie, his kids into the pie. Titus and Garnet. Yeah. I didn't brown the butter. Yeah, anyway.
I know.
I was like one of my favorite scenes. Just like, oh, I didn't do that.
I know. It started, like, that whole scene started right after there was the whole gross taking the skin off of Jorah, and then it's like fork in the pot.
Oh, God, yeah. That was rough. That was a rough transition. Okay. So back to our heroes.
It was so much fun. It was just so much fun to see them all interact. I thought it was great. Especially Tormund and the Hound.
Oh, God. Oh, I don't like gingers. I've just been touched by fire. What do you mean you don't like gingers? And then when he was, the way he talked about Bran, made me love him so much more. He's like, I want to make babies. They were giants.
And also the Hound, who was like, Brienne, you're with Brienne. So funny. And then Tormund came up to him in the beginning. He's like, so you're the one that called the dog.
No. They were. I liked that. I was glad that they took the time to put in some interactions between them, so it wasn't just let's go into this battle. They really were kind of bonding as a group. And and then Gendry giving the Lord of Light guys the bad time. They're like, you sold me to a priestess. She put leeches on me.
And Thoros is like, yeah, she needed your blood.
Like, Thoros is like, you didn't die, did you? Get over it.
Exactly. He's like, the Hound. Points to Beric. He's like, this guy's been dead 6 times. You don't hear him complaining about it.
That was funny. Poor Gendry. He was just like, they sold me. And he's like, no. You got nothing. Just move on.
Yeah. He's like the scruffy little one. And also Tormund saying, I don't think this one's so smart. I know. People. Coming from Tormund, who I'm not saying he's stupid, but so much goes over his head.
Yes.
Saying that he's not so smart.
I got really scared when I was watching it, and I wasn't sure who was attacked at one point, because it was hard to tell who was doing what. I couldn't tell who was fighting. Oh, the only ones I could identify were the ones with the flaming swords. Flaming swords. Yeah. And then I knew at one point, was it Tormund who took Gendry's hammer?
Yeah.
No, it was the Hound.
Hound. Okay, well,
The Hound isn't the one that takes it in the first place, though, is it?
Oh, no, but he's the one that was using it.
He ends up with it, though.
Right, he ends up with it. So then I got confused there, because I couldn't remember who had taken it and who had it. And so that's the only thing that I could identify who anybody was, because as far as I could tell, it was a white background with gray skinned, you know, people, like people right. with, you know, gray coats on fighting, you know, dead yeah. people. And so it got really kind of confusing yeah. there. I was really worried that Tormund was going to get it and I was going to cry.
I know. I was like, there were like three instances that I sort of like gasped when I was watching this mm-hmm. the first time. The first one was when Jon was about to hand over Longclaw to Jorah. I'm like, no!
I was like, what are you doing, dude?
I knew he was going to do that. I knew as soon as we were on their party together, I'm like, he's got to address this. And so he's going to try to give it back to him, and Jorah's going to say no. Like, there's just...
So there's that. My second gasp was when it looked like Tormund was going to get pulled under. I'm like, no!
I know. Tormund. Oh,
okay,
my God.
Yeah, that part, I was like...
Screaming. Yeah, when I knew that one, when he almost got pulled in the water, right? So two came up out of the water underneath him, and I was like, oh, no, this can't happen.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but then there was one moment when I wasn't sure when the priest guy got bit, who it was that had gotten bit, and I was oh, who was that? And I'm like, oh, okay, he can go, that's fine.
Well, so who, do we actually know who got, like, eaten when the polar bear shows up?
No, the polar bear was just a red shirt, as far as I could tell.
A random guy. Right, okay, yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, I can't tell who that is. I hope it's not.
It was one of the wildlings or someone who was scouting for them.
Yeah, yeah. They had put out in front who we didn't recognize his face, didn't have a name. So like a typical red shirt. Because I'm going to apparently just reference Star Trek while we're... Because
everyone talking about knows what a red shirt is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So red shirts, So just, disposable characters. Like as soon as he was out in front, I'm like, he's gonna die.
Never
wander away from the group.
Right, exactly. Like, duh.
Our zombie polar bear is gonna.
Yeah. But I do have to say, I found the zombie polar bear to be deeply satisfying. I have had an issue with Walking Dead not having zombified, you know, animals at all. Like, why? Come on. I mean, there's, you know, if it's, you know, animated flesh can be reanimated, then you're going to have zombie dogs and horses or whatnot. Like, so I was like very thankful that at least one zombie show finally has.
Well, okay. So I was watching like the behind the scenes and they were talking about like creating the zombie polar bear.
But they've wanted to do it for like four seasons or whatever.
Yeah, it showed up before or whatever. And so like... I was like, of course you have to have it here, but I'm wondering what the heck they're doing just wandering around.
That's
what bears do.
I know, but the show kind of makes it seem like the Night King is like...
Oh, like controlling.
Like possesses it, so he's just like controlling them wandering around, or...
He's like a warg. That's another thing I was reading today.
I saw that too.
That he had like warg properties, and he can do what Bran does with like putting his consciousness in other creatures.
Yeah. Which is kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if this is jumping around too much, but when they find like the first group of White Walkers.
And they kill. Yes, this is my the interesting thing that they kill the leader, and then like six of them drop.
Yeah, I think we. Yeah, I know. I think we talked about that before, or was skeptical. We had were asking like what would happen with this huge army of the dead if the White Walkers fell, and so it looks like the army will fall too.
Yeah, yeah, which is really interesting. I tweeted, and I think both of you saw it last night. So I tweeted that the White Walkers are really the Borg.
Borg.
Yeah. Right, because it's the same. I mean, it's the same kind of threat. The large numbers, the assimilation, the pot. Like it's six of nine or whatever. Right, they ran in
seven of nine.
Seven of nine. They ran in small groups. All as kind of like a pod of I'm trying to think of the military term. A regiment or
platoon.
A platoon. Yeah. So they all kind of run in those small groups with one leader. So I thought that was really, really interesting kind of thing to think about the comparisons of that threat that is so overwhelming and so large, but that can be taken down in small pieces. Because that's essentially what happened and how they beat the Borg, is they took them down in small pieces. So
right.
Yeah, and infiltrated them, and then, you know, broke them by giving them names and personalities.
That first White Walker, the one that's leading like the small band of people, he didn't look very scary to me. I don't know if it was the way that actor sort of like the way he sees the fire and then he stops and he looks around, and I'm like, this just seems like a goofy guy. Because I think before they're all sort of ominous, like they move really slowly, and but this guy's all like, huh, what? You know, I was just like that.
Yeah, that was kind of a unsatisfying fight scene. He just kind of died immediately.
Yeah.
I think that was the writers trying to show us that one, John can kill them with his sword.
Right.
And he went right for him because he knew that his sword could kill him.
Right. So, and that taking the leader down will destroy the other one.
Did we know that already?
Yeah. No, we didn't.
Okay. Because
we just found that out.
Right.
About the sword or about?
No, I knew about the sword. Killing the leader would take out the group.
No, because. Yeah. No.
Yeah, that was new for this episode.
Yeah. Because they've never gotten that close to one of them before.
Right, right.
As far as I know, there's only the three of them, right?
Oh, the leaders?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
No, there's more than that.
I'm assuming that...
Oh, okay.
I thought he was kind of differently dressed, too. And I was going to ask you guys if you noticed that, too. That he seemed to have, like, a quilted coat on that looked similar to what the Night King wears.
Right, because I always thought it was the Night King, his two lieutenant guys. Have we ever seen more than those two guys?
Well, John killed one in the fifth season. And we know Sam has killed one as well, so I don't think that there's just like a set number of them, because there were, was it three or four that they looked at off in the distance when they were on the rock, and Jorah's like, here, we fight them, we take out the walkers, we can take out everybody. I don't remember how many people were standing there. It was definitely the Night King, and I don't remember if there were two or three, but I think there's been like a different number of them.
Because I just did a quick search, and there's at least four pictured, and I don't know what episode this is for, but these are four that do not include the Night King.
Not the Night King, yeah.
So I'm thinking that there's more than that. And let's see, here's the one of the scenes from. Now, he's got lots of generals.
Yeah.
Okay.
This one, there's at least four pictured in this one, too. And they all, again, have armor, like, and coats and, like, they have shoulder pads.
Yes.
That kind of go off on their shoulders to at an angle like his do.
Yes.
So I think that those are the ones that have the.
Oh, okay. Now I found a picture, too.
Okay. What was that? What did you say?
Danny's dress.
Yes.
It's completely White Walker.
Yes.
White Walker apparel.
Cersei's have been, too.
So everyone is just in White Walker fashion.
Yeah. And so I was thinking about that, because I also am no fashionista or have any interest in fashion generally. But I did notice that everybody had started to wear all these darker colors and all the padding. And then I remembered that it's winter. Yeah. Even if it's not quite winter in King's Landing like it is in the north, it must be getting colder there too.
Yeah. Not that the White Walkers need clothes.
No. I'm not talking about the White Walkers. I was talking about the others. But it is interesting that you can kind of like compare all those.
I'm like, who is there?
Yeah.
Doing?
As soon as Danny came out in that outfit, I was like, what? That kind of looks like a White Walker outfit.
In the white one?
In the white, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is making all her clothes? That's what I want to know.
I want that coat.
I just want like one scene of someone helping her get dressed. Where the heck these clothes are coming from. Because she was prepared. Why did she have a heavy winter coat?
Winter is coming.
But they're like in the very south.
They are. She does have a ridiculous number of outfits. Like, it's probably every season, to be fair, but
yeah,
I do seem to be noticing it more this season, because they do seem to be different. She's far more severe. There's, you know, a definitely different look that she has. Like,
she has a bunch of jewelry now.
Yeah, she has all these brooches and all this stuff, and it's like,
wow. You know, it's my craziness. But you know that three-headed dragon pin that we've been seeing her a lot? Mm-hmm. She actually had that on in the very first episode of the first season when we really? First see her. That's one of the pins that she has on her. Yeah. So that must be in like a family
heirloom. A family heirloom.
Yeah. Which makes sense because the Targaryen mascot is the three-headed dragon. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that was the other thing that I noticed in terms of like the symbolic, like she was in light and white colors in the first season. And then as she gained her power and she started sort of coming into her own, she was wearing blue a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then she moved into kind of tans and it got like progressively darker to the point where now she's just wearing black essentially. So,
yeah. Yeah, and that was the other thing too about the dress that she had on when she flew in with the dragons was like, I mean, I don't know if they were trying to say anything really with that, but just making her like the contrast to the White Walker or to the White Walkers because she had the white on where they were the black. But they definitely have the same, you know, ridges, the style and everything going on.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yep. And that was some kind of fur.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Yeah. I think part of it is just to make her more visible.
On
the dragons.
On the dragons.
And apart from all the other people.
Yeah.
While they're on the dragon. So
yeah.
She just kind of stands out.
Wow. She looks so young. So now I'm looking at season one pictures of her.
I know.
She looks like a baby.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize exactly how young she looked back then, but she really did. Yeah, I see the pin now on her shoulders. Yeah. Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, the actress is really young, too.
Yeah, she is very
young. She's only 30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they were all, like, 21 when they started,
so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like she must have been pretty young when she started the show.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so our merry band of heroes sends Gendry off and get themselves stranded on a rock.
Well, drown. First they acquire a zombie.
They do acquire a zombie.
Yes, that is true.
Sorry, I did miss that. They do acquire
the whole thing. The whole point of this horrible thing to acquire a zombie.
The worst plan ever.
For some reason, didn't end up dying when all the other ones did.
Right.
I don't know how that worked.
Right.
And they just tie him up. That makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
They didn't have a box with them, so, you know, I assume they had at least thought of some way to restrain this thing. But that whole thing was kind of comic because it was doing its like, like the whole time.
He goes to like grab his, like, is it the hound who goes to try to silence him and his whole face falls off?
Yeah. And also like it's all quiet, like with the, you know, the kind of glacier thing that broke, but then they all just stop and stand in a circle. Mm-hmm. And we see them after they've basically been there all night and everything is quiet except for that zombie that's like going,
yeah.
And the hound kicks it.
Right.
And then they all make us, did you notice that?
Yes,
all of it made a sound when they kicked.
Yeah. And that was part of what led to my Borg.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Idea, right? Because they were all connected to each other. So they all knew everything that was happening. So of course, when one of them hurt, the others hurt. So that was part of what led me to think that, you know, this was the Borg of our fantasy world here.
Yes.
So do you think that him being captured is what alerted the Night King? Or was it really just that scream that he let out when he got captured?
I think it's both. I mean, I think the Night King would have figured it out. And then I think the scream alerted him as to where he was.
Yeah.
To lead him to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other was really comic too. When the one Clegane, I would be like, what the hell is your problem?
I would have like
thrown rocks him at the zombies.
What are you doing? I get you're bored, but you don't throw rocks at the enemy across the ice. Like, what?
Well, that and they were all waiting.
Right.
Just keep waiting.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And that seems to be what set them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's totally oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm happy to just keep waiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until like they died or something.
Well, yeah. they're not going to die again.
I mean, yeah, they would have waited forever.
No, until the group died.
Yeah. Oh, right. Our heroes just, like, died.
To death.
Yeah. Right.
So, but obviously, yeah, man. The undead are undead.
Right. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, they can't die again. Right, yeah, until our heroes died, yes. They were just waiting, yes, trying to wait them out.
Because our red priest did, like, die in his sleep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I assume that's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, man, Clegane. I mean, the other guys were just like, oh, you know, we'll just draw our swords. I'm like, man, I would have yelled at him.
Yeah, I would have too.
What the F is your problem?
I would have been punching him a few times, actually. Like, you know.
Just like slap him on the head.
Yeah, exactly. Slap him upside his head and be like, what are you doing? And why? And like, knock it off. Like, sound like a toddler. Let's throw some rocks. Know, what? Yeah.
The zombie that he hit, though, was so funny, too. Because he like knocks off half of its jaw.
And yeah. Sort of and then he fights him back. Again later. And then he fights him again later. And I was like, oh, this is hilarious. They did. I will give them props to the writers for this season. Because, you know, they're beyond the books at this point, so they can kind of do whatever they want. They really have been enjoying some of the, like, tongue-in-cheek humor that they've been putting in this season. Yeah. Which is nice, because, you know, it's all doom and gloom, so it's nice.
Right.
There's no more, like, sexy brothel scenes, so we don't see any boobs anymore. And gratuitous sex just sort of happening in the background of scenes. So
sex position.
Right. So they're replacing that with a little humor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, like, typically, you know, you do the, like, the TV MA with all the descriptors. Mm-hmm. Like, you always used to see nudity.
Yeah.
Always in every episode. And it's barely been in any
episode. Nobody's doing it anymore. Well, we'll know. Okay, so this is my prediction. If Jon and Daenerys are going to get it on, then it will say nudity. Because we've already seen her naked twice, so.
But I thought she like, it's part of her contract that she won't do that anymore.
Oh, really?
What?
I thought so.
Could be.
Well, because she appeared pretty nude, like, in the beginning, but she, like...
Yeah. Well, she did it twice, because twice she walked out of flaming...
Right.
Having burned off all of
it. That hasn't happened in how many seasons?
Two?
Last season.
Was last season?
Yeah.
When she walked out of the... Yeah.
With
the Dothraki. Yeah, because that's when she had been stranded the season before, after...
Maybe
the slave fighting.
Maybe they used a body double or something, like they did with Cersei.
No, because I saw her interviewed, really? And she was watching that episode with her parents.
Huh.
Oh, okay, maybe, that's awkward.
Yeah, it was super awkward. They're like, "Let's watch your show together," and she's like, "If you want to." And then she's sitting in a room with her parents as they watch her walk out naked. And they're like, "You had to do that again."
Maybe it was no more sex scenes then.
Maybe it could have been no more sex scenes, because there definitely hasn't been.
They're all like, I had just set fire to everything.
Right. Nudity. It could be, but anyway. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. That was good.
I don't think that's ever actually going to happen.
You don't think that Jon and Daenerys are going to get it on?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
No.
I don't know.
Well, I'm getting ahead of myself, but she knows he's, like, something happened to him.
Right.
Oh, because she saw the scars.
She sees the scars.
Right. Which I was wondering, if she would see him, like, would he be covered in scars? And I guess the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't look very healed either.
No, which is even more like he's not, like, all better.
He's not quite right. Well, of course, he was brought back from the dead. How can you ever be quite right after that? But I was interested to see that, too. As soon as they started taking off his armor after... Okay, so we're definitely jumping. Let's go back, because we have to talk about what happens to other things.
No, do we have to?
I know. Yeah, we do have to. as much as I don't want to either.
Okay, so that improbable raven that Gendry sends.
Yes.
To Daenerys. Yes. Dragonstone.
Yes.
The reaches her.
And she improbably travels immediately back within a day.
Just like overnight, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Overnight.
Red-eye flight.
Yes, to help rescue them and sets a whole bunch of them on fire and lands.
Yes, which was so awesome. On.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, which was really awesome until it was not awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the summation of this show. It was pretty awesome until it wasn't awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, like the fight with Oberon was pretty great until he got his head squished and then it wasn't awesome anymore. Right. Then it was just sad.
Then it was just sad.
Yeah. It was funny though, you know, like I think everybody's been theorizing about whether the Night King had a dragon or not, or whether that was in his but I never thought like, oh, he'll just get some reason that didn't occur to me. Yeah. But then like as soon as I saw him pull that spear out, I'm like,
I thought I knew it while I had
I figured already, that was his plan, like that's a very special looking spear.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And like they knew, like they were planning for this to happen, this eventuality that she would eventually come north with the dragons and they would try to get away from her. The theory that I had read was that there was an ice dragon in the wall, which there could still be, that was part of the protection, part of the magic, but it was alive and frozen in the, because it was an ice dragon, so it could survive. And that was part of the magic that kept them north. But that they would need to release it to fight the White Walkers. So,
yeah.
Well,
yeah, no, it was so sad. Like, whatever. Yes, he has. Whatever that spear hit, too. Like if we're talking biologically, that they can breathe fire because of some part of their biology,
right? Like some chemical. Yeah.
Because the dragon's abdomen like caught on fire.
Yeah, he like imploded.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was really. I mean. It was terrible, but it was really awesome.
Yeah.
Like in how awful it was. And then he melts the snow as he's going down into the ice. He's like melting the snow along it. And
I know. It was so sad. He's like closes his eye really slowly and then just sort of falls in the water. Yeah. I was like,
it hurts us. Oh, it hurts so bad.
And of course, you know, Dany's are basically like, she's in shock, you know, for the most part. But I think it's important for her, like, even though Drogon got hit with something in the battle, she knows that they're not, like, invincible. Thought that anything could really kill them.
I would agree.
So, well, yeah, because she just got shot with this, Drogon just got shot with a spear, like, last episode or
two back.
Yeah, a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
But it didn't, and he was
pretty much fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it was, what was I going to say? Now I've lost my train of thought. That was what was interesting about watching her face and watching her process it afterward. Yeah. Like when she's standing on the wall and she's watching out. And I didn't understand at first that she was watching for Jon. Like I didn't know.
No, I thought she was just like mourning.
I thought she was just mourning. Yeah, I thought she was just mourning. And maybe she was. I just thought she was like taking a minute to like look out.
I think she, you know, she's probably mourning for both of them actually, because you know she left very reluctantly after he got yanked into the water.
Yeah,
but he, you know, he saw the Night King pull out another spear, and he's like, "Get out of here!"
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was, and he was definitely right about that. But yeah, so I thought she was just, which, and maybe she was just mourning, but watching her face and watching that kind of moment of processing was really, it was really just awful.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And she did a good, I mean, she does, there's one thing that they have done a really good job with on this show is, I don't know what kind of training the actors have gone through for dealing with scenes where they're essentially looking at a green screen, that they're acting to nothing.
Yeah.
The actors in this show are doing killer job.
Yeah.
Being that real.
Specifically for that actress, she has had to do that like
so much.
So much. Like there was a behind the scenes of, I don't know if it was this episode or one of the other episodes that they showed her, you know, she's on like this mechanical thing.
Oh yeah, that was after this one. I saw that too. Yeah.
And then she's got green screens behind her, and as she was talking about like could they just like put something on a screen in front of her for her to act to, or did some wind? I mean, I don't know. She's
something. Like, yeah, something. She was like, can you just put some clouds in front of me? Something.
Yeah.
Instead of just green screens to make her feel like she was flying.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I thought about that with the scene with Arya and Nymeria, her wolf as well. Right. She wasn't walking up to the face of a wolf, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's those, they really are doing a great job. Because if you think about, and it's, you know, maybe that's part of just being an actor. That's part of what I was thinking about. Like, that would have to be part of your craft now, because so many movies rely on, you know, green screen, yeah, CGI technology. You just have to learn how to do it. But yeah, these guys are just doing a great job. You think back to, I mean, that's what made the Star Wars prequels so terrible, was how hollow the acting was, right? I mean, it was the actors, yeah, and the writing was terrible as well. But they were all acting in empty rooms. So, yeah, you know, that was part of it, was they didn't have that. And I just think it's really impressive that they've done so well with these guys, getting the, mm-hmm, those like true emotional reactions on their faces from essentially nothing. So
yeah.
And some talent. There's some good direction going on in that.
The wolf, when you mentioned the wolf too, that reminded me, I didn't say we were talking about it, but I guess I wasn't paying that much attention when they said like, oh, it's a bear. I didn't hear that. So when this big creature came running at them, I thought it was Summer. I thought it was Bran's dire wolf.
I thought it was a wolf too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, because as soon as, you know, it was sort of like ambiguous whether or not, mm-hmm, Summer died last season. Like, it was kind of weird. He didn't really see it. But like, you know, Mira says that he died and that Hodor died. And oh man, I don't want to see an undead Hodor. Hopefully we won't see that.
No!
That's terrible. I hadn't thought about that. No. It's bad enough to think about 1-1, the like, right, the giant, you know, which, you know, people were speculating was one of the ones that Bran saw in the first vision he had of the army coming.
Yeah. I don't think it was 1-1. I just think it was other giants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so I have been watching on Amazon, and they had the x-ray with like the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
No trivia on this episode.
Mm.
None whatsoever. They didn't put anything. And usually they have some notes that say like, this happened in this scene. And like, there were so many things that you could have referred back to in this.
Yeah.
Nothing. None of it. And I was like, this is interesting.
Maybe they're trying not to allude to anything. Or
they could. That's what I'm figuring is that. And they might go back and put it in later. I don't know. But I wondered if they didn't want to give anything away for next week's episode for the finale. Okay. So Daenerys comes and saves the scene. Jon is saved by... and Benjen, he pulls himself out of the water.
I know. I just want to say, like, that whole thing of him coming up out of the water and going, how many times are they going to make him do that in this show now?
I know, right?
I just started cracking up when it did that. I was like,
well, especially since one of the theories is that he's not actually breathing anymore.
Right, I know.
So it's like,
that's what I figured. Like, the only way that he could, like, survive underwater so long is if he wasn't breathing. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
because that's a long time.
Also, the cold wouldn't affect him as much.
Right, because you're
not circulating blood anymore.
Water that cold would kill you in like a couple minutes.
And his wounds weren't healed.
I told you, he's a zombie, okay?
He's at the ones who, you know, the red priests and the red priestesses bring back. They are definitely compromised. I mean, you know, he said that.
Beric Dondarrion. I suspect that's why he only has one eye, or if did he lose that before?
I have no idea.
Like, maybe that's just part of like the decay of dying so often.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know all the many ways that he died when he died, but
yeah, I think he, like, you don't get introduced to him until, I don't know, whatever season it is, when he fights the Hound and the Hound kills him, and then Thoros brings him back.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure he already was missing an eye.
He was already missing an eye.
Then, yes.
Yeah, he was, because that was one of the only ways you could identify him in the cave.
Yes.
With all the other believers who were in the cave at that moment.
Well, it's my headcanon that he lost that eye. one time when he died. And
I can work with that. I kind of had that same feeling, like he either died that way, because, you know, you could, you know, somebody could have shot him through the eye with an arrow or something like that. And
oh, I found it. He lost it during one of his deaths.
Okay.
So he was captured by the Lannisters and they executed him. So they both hanged him and stuck a dagger in his eye.
Mm. Overkill.
Yeah. Well, Lannisters.
Yeah. Right. So. What do you expect? A Lannister pays his debt twice.
They're just like, they couldn't decide how to kill him, so they just did both things.
Yeah. Just like with Elena, Lady Elena, you know, he wanted to, like, skin her alive and poison her and do this and do that, right. You know.
Yeah. So, can we talk about Tyrion for a little bit?
Sure.
Because I feel like something is sort of percolating there. Because I think, you know, he made the comment about her telling all the names of these heroes, and he's like, oh, they all fell in love with you. And then immediately after, I starts wanting to ask about the succession.
Right.
And then,
yeah, I was wondering why he was bringing that up now, I too. Like,
yeah. But and then when she leaves on the dragons, he is like completely heartbroken. So I think he's in love with her. Because he was like yelling at her, like, oh, they knew the risks when they went and blah, 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 blah. Where he's like, oh, sure, John, out of the way.
Yeah. You know? My competition compromised. Yay. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, something's going on there. And he's been a character that I have loved from the beginning.
Me too.
I just feel like he's just been so real, like where everybody else is sort of deceptive. He's been so real. But maybe now, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question. I've thought that too, you know, that he had already, I thought she might have feelings for him too. There was one scene when they're talking about in the after things, they were talking about how they had constructed the scene so they would be eye to eye when she asked him to be her hand.
Right. Yeah.
So he's standing up and she's, you know, so they're eye to eye with each other, and that she's very careful about, you know, being at his height. Jamie is like that too. And that was one of the things I loved about the scene with Jamie from last episode, where he goes and they're trying to make the arrangements to have the armistice. And Tyrion says to Jamie, you just, what's it? Okay, he's like, you just gave up Casterly Rock. It's like, no nostalgic feeling, no sentimentality. Yeah, yeah. You just gave it up. Yeah. And it so showed the difference between who they were. And I think that's one of the things, because I tend to be slightly on the over sentimental side myself, that I think has drawn me to Tyrion, is that he does, as the outsider in his family, he does have that kind of longing for a connection with them that he probably never really had and always kind of wanted, especially if you think about the fact that he grew up watching his brother and his sister, be sexually involved with each other.
I almost
talk
said
about
something,
feeling
but I didn't.
Out of place.
Yeah.
Why did I get any? Sorry.
Yeah. No, the other thing about that too is that it was his idea to send the guys north as well. So
another horrible Tyrion idea from the season.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he's struck out quite a few times. He may drink and know things, but he doesn't always know the right things.
He hasn't been drinking. Well, I guess I was going to say he hasn't been drinking very much this season, but now when I think about it, he's had a wine cup in his hand almost every time I've seen it, except when he's outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, except on the scenes when they're like, when he's delivering her the bad news. He probably should have handed her a glass of wine. Sit down and drink this. Let's talk. I can tell you about the things I know when you've had one. Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. You could be right about, there's so much manipulation of people in this.
I know.
Emotional and otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That would be a twist that I would had never ever would have seen coming.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Now I'm like thinking, I mean, him being in love with her is one thing, you know, but sort of like it seems like he's sort of setting up the competition to fall is and while at the same time talking about the succession. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little fishy.
Yeah, that's a little fishy. It's interesting. One of the preview pictures for next week's episode has Cersei standing with her hands on her stomach.
Mm.
So, and of course, everybody's wondering if she's really pregnant.
Right.
She's lying.
Yeah, I think she's lying too. I mean, it wouldn't be beyond her.
No, it wouldn't be beyond her.
Mm-mm.
But I don't know.
Because it probably caused everyone else to be, I don't know, sympathetic towards her.
Probably.
Like, although, you know, like if, outright kill her.
If that comes up, that's going to be a very sensitive topic with Danny because she can't have kids.
Right.
Oh, so, I have no doubt that as soon as she meets her,
especially since Cersei has lost all of her kids already and Danny just lost one of her kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Now, do we know if Danny's actually going to make the scene? Because all the pictures don't show her in the meeting so far.
That's right.
That Tyrion goes with Jon and doesn't actually let her go face her.
Maybe.
I think she's going to land on the dragon. Because they're like in, I don't know where they are, but they're like in a big open room. And I couldn't tell if it was inside or outside.
I think it's the dragon pits in King's Landing.
That, I read that.
That we've never seen before. So,
But that's what I was thinking. So when they said dragon pits, and then she wasn't there at first, I'm like, she's going to show up on a dragon because that's what I'd do. Dragons I could run in on a meeting with, you know, the crazy queen.
She'd risk that after everything.
Well, they wouldn't be expecting it.
Yeah,
it's for not like flying in battle, right? It's not like her flying into battle with a dragon, which they would expect her to have him at the battles.
Yeah.
Well, this is supposed to be like a meeting of leaders or whatever, right?
Right.
So yeah, I don't know if that's like the best.
I'm not saying it's a good decision.
Peaceful meeting.
I'm wondering if that's what she's going to do. She's going to be like, "You want to see me here? This is my dragon."
I don't think she's going to risk it.
Not when she just lost one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that and the whole point of it is not for them to meet. It's like to.
It's for them to, you know.
For them to see the undead thing. So.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's no need to convince her now.
Yeah.
Because she says that in the bedroom scene.
Yeah.
The bedroom scene.
It's not inaccurate,
I guess.
Okay, can we talk about how weird that scene is?
It's just kind of uncomfortable.
It is.
Like, I don't know if that's because
because we know and they don't know. That's what that's like the best storytelling is when the reader knows something the characters don't know.
Okay, yeah, but her specifically the line where she's like the dragons are my children and they're the only children I can't have have because I can't have any more.
Now they have brought that up at least 6 times this season that she can't
have. So do you think they're like false foreshadow, like it's a red herring that they're like she's gonna end up with a kid?
I have no
because
doubt
she's never
That's why I think she's going to get it on with John, because I think that's going to be when she gets pregnant.
So we're going to have another incest baby?
Yes. The Targaryens were known for it, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. But typically it was on, like, the same generation. So this is, like...
Yeah. Like, she grew up thinking... Because I remember that from the first book. I read the first and the second book.
She was going to end up with her brother.
Yeah, she thought she was going to marry her brother. Like...
Yeah.
So what she thought her
life was saying with her and John, it's like technically a different generation.
Right.
Because she's like his aunt. So that's, I don't know, more or less weird.
I don't know. I can't speak for
Targaryen.
More. Right. At least it's a, you know, at least there's a little, mixing blood in there. So it wouldn't be quite as bad as Joffrey.
Right. Yeah. And they were like, no, the other thing is obviously they're hinting to Jon's thing more because it was, I think it was Dondarrion. He said that he doesn't look much like Ned Stark and that he favors his mother. Yes. So
he must favor his mother. Yeah. Which, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is Ned's sister. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Still.
But yeah, that, so that's why I think that, because they have brought that up so many times. She keeps saying it, like she said it 3 times, you know, these are my children, to him.
Yeah.
You know, I can't have other children. Like she keeps saying
that. But is she driving
that.
The point because she thinks she's going to end up with him somehow?
I don't know.
Because he is like the closest thing to an equal that she has right now.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it would make sense strategically.
Because like she's always been meaning to marry for gain, not...
Right, maybe, or maybe she just wants him to know for sure, you know, if it were to happen between us, I wouldn't have kids. Like, I still think it means she's going to get pregnant. Like, that's the only thing. I'm like, I don't understand why they put it in this context over and over again.
Yeah, the other thing, too, was like when Jorah refused the sword, he said to Jon that it was his...
Or his children. Yes, I caught that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, why does everyone keep telling John about children for?
Because he's going to become a daddy.
An undead daddy.
A dragon daddy.
Is this going to be a Twilight situation? Where we have to discuss, like, the possibility of undead people impregnating other people?
Well, apparently her baby that she lost was, I mean, we don't know for sure if that witch was telling the truth or not,
right.
But she said that it had leathery wings and scales, so it made it sound like she actually gave birth to a physical
dragon.
If that witch was telling the truth.
Right, yeah. So. Yeah. I don't know. 2 Targaryens. Only could see you.
Yeah,
I don't know, but I do. I feel like it has to have some significance.
Yeah, it's one thing. Like lots of my friends are like, we're like all speculating. Like, you know, Danny's got the dragon. Who's gonna get the other 2 dragons? And so this plot line now is like, no, that's not an issue because there's not gonna be 2 dragons. There's only one more left. So
right. Yeah. And we already know that John is friendly with the dragons. So
yeah.
Maybe.
So maybe it's just going to be the 2 of them now?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know which dragon it was that died.
By Sirion, I think. The one named after
I know. There's like a reddish one and a greenish one.
I don't know which one is named after her brother.
Yeah.
They're all named after her brothers, aren't they?
Yeah. Rhaegal and, yeah, Viserion.
And Viserion, yeah.
Rhaegar and Viserys. Yeah. But I mean, maybe it doesn't mean anything. They didn't say specifically which one died. I couldn't tell. Like, typically you can tell them apart because one's sort of reddish and one's kind of green.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell the coloring.
No, I couldn't either. Everything looked gray.
Yeah.
North of the wall, everything just kind of turned brownish gray.
Wait, so they're all named after her brother? I thought one of them was named after...
Brothers. She had 2. I thought she had...
Yeah, Drogon is named after
Drogon.
The big one is named after Drogon. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the other 2 are named after her brothers.
After her, yeah, she had 2 brothers. Because she had Viserys, who was the one who sold her to Khal Drogo, and then the one
Rhaegar. Who's Jon's dad.
Oh, right. Okay. I'm having trouble keeping the Targaryen lineage.
Well, I thought they were cousins. I thought Daenerys and Jon were cousins for the longest time. I was talking to my neighbor and he asked me to help him understand things. And I'm like, oh, well, they're cousins. I had to go back to him and I said, actually, I was wrong there. And aunt and nephew. And he's like, oh, that's worse. I'm like, I know.
Right. So Rhaegar is her like much, much older brother.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, like cool. Ned Stark age because it was his sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, one more episode. Yes.
Zombie dragon.
I have what do you guys think? Do you think that dragon's not going to be able to breathe fire, or if it's going to breathe like ice?
I think it's
going to
breathe ice. I think it's going to breathe ice because it's a song of fire and ice.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That could mean lots of things, though.
Oh, I have no doubt.
It would just be like
there's John, and you know, like even Melisandre said this season, I brought fire and ice together.
Yeah. And I don't, I'm not questioning that, but I think the theme is parallel. So it's Daenerys and John as fire and ice, and then the White Walkers and the living as fire and ice as well.
Yeah. So
that's just, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It could be.
I think
fire.
It will just be like a blue fire.
Yeah.
That maybe doesn't set everything else on fire, just like freezes things. And so then, yeah, pretty much that. Yeah. Just not actual. I'm thinking like logistically of like how that effect would work.
Right. Like how it would look.
I'm thinking they'll probably just do like a blue flame.
Yeah, that's probably, they'll just take what they do for the red and they'll just turn it blue.
The behind the scenes for the dragon fight at the lake is pretty.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. Yeah. I watched whatever was on the Amazon, but it always says, you know, watch this on, and I just didn't go because I couldn't handle it.
It was worth watching, though.
Yeah, I don't doubt it's worth watching, but after watching the dragon die, I couldn't watch
it. Right, right. Now, like this is several days after.
Yeah. I couldn't go back right
I
after.
I literally lost my voice screaming while watching that episode.
No, not that again with the dragons. Did you hear?
Because that happened, and then the Sansa and Arya scene happened, and I was like, oh my god, Arya's going to kill Sansa. And then zombie dragon happened, and I was just losing it.
And then you texted me, and you're like, we have to talk this week.
Yeah.
We need to talk immediately about this.
Pretty much.
And I hadn't watched it yet, and I'm like, okay, I haven't watched it yet, but I'll get it done.
And then you're like, I can't watch it today, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, and then when you said you were watching it, like, last thing before you went
to
bed.
I was like, no, don't do that.
I know, exactly, because, like, I know how your games
are bad dreams.
I was like, no. I was like, oh, should I tell that? She knows there's White Walkers.
Yeah, well, I knew something happened to the dragon, because I had seen enough to know. I didn't know what had happened, but I knew something happened to the dragon. I kind of imagined that was what it was going to be, because I guessed last week, as soon as they said they were going to go north, that she was going to end up there on the dragon. I didn't know she'd take all three of them with her, but
yeah. Also, why did she take all three of them?
Also, why?
Dumb.
Don't really know. Like, she didn't on the other fight. Like, why is she on this one? Okay. Because she's not listening to anybody, because she wasn't listening to Tyrion, because he was like, no, don't go. Our babies will be beautiful. That's what Leonard says when he first sees Penny. Our babies will be smart and beautiful. But yeah, I wondered why she took all of them too. But so I knew something had happened to the dragon, and I did watch some other stupid TV after, so I didn't watch it before I went to bed. But I did watch it when I went to lay down, because it was really, like, literally the only time I had to do it yesterday. So,
oh my god, I'm reading the rest of this wiki page, and it's kind of hilarious because there's a section of them talking about how a raven can't go to Dragonstone, and then Dany can ride her dragon back up. Yeah. And they like list all the reasons why.
I didn't even realize the page went on that far. Like, I always got to like
I didn't either.
The production links, and I just stopped looking. Oh my god, it's huge.
Like, there's a map.
Yeah, there's a map, and they're talking about the. I'd seen a couple of those too, with lines about like how long you'd have to go. Oh wow, yeah, on Dragonstone.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, they start talking about Yeah, anyway. So check out, I'll have a link to this one so you guys can check it out and you can see all the discussion. Okay, you're listening and watching. What do you think is going on? Do you think that the dragon is going to spew fire? Hot fire or cold fire?
Cold fire.
Right? What?
Liquid nitrogen. It's going to spew liquid nitrogen.
Exactly. It's just going to freeze
dry
everybody.
Ice.
Dry ice. what other what do you think? Are John and Daenerys gonna get together? I did want to bring up that he calls her Danny, and she's like,
I know.
And the last person who called me Danny didn't end well.
Right, yeah, exactly. It was kind of weird that he even called her that.
I did, I thought like, that too. I'm like, why would you pick that? Like, wouldn't you like kind of like want to be a little bit more familiar with somebody before you said Danny? But then I thought that was like throwing a bone to the fans, because a lot of the fans call her Danny.
Yeah. And also too, the only other person who called her Danny was her brother, so the relation thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Pulling back to the fact that they're related. Yeah, could be. So, all right, are John and Daenerys going to get together? What other questions could we give our listeners?
What is up with Arya and Sansa, and how's that all going to turn out?
Anybody listening has any insights about Arya and Sansa, I would love to hear them, because this is crazy, and I'm not really sure what's happening with the crazy, but man, it's big crazy.
Yeah, so... who is going to kill Littlefinger? That's what I want to know.
There you go. Who's going to kill Littlefinger? Because that was Nicole's theory that he was dying this season. So
I still think it is. I don't know exactly how it's going to end.
I will feel some great satisfaction if it's Sansa who like drives a dagger into his heart. I also wondered if Arya gave her the dagger, and she's going to come in contact with a White Walker somehow.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it's Valyrian steel
thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out from the preview. There was a preview of Sansa just like walking the wall alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of looking
makes me think like something.
Yeah, she had her foot up and
Yeah, like pacing.
Like maybe something's coming.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe the wall fell, and maybe that's where we're gonna end with the wall falling or
oh god.
Well,
I didn't even think of that.
I've been thinking about that all season. Like, okay,
well, it just seems too fast, but everything has happened so fast this season that I don't know.
Ravens, dragons, they saved them from freezing to death. Everything's happening in a time. It's teleporters, I'm telling you. We have crossed, we have Borg, and we have teleporters now in Game of Thrones. Our genres have disintegrated into each other. All right. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Catch us on the Geek Embassy. Leave us comments on the website or catch us on Twitter at the Geek Embassy. Don't forget to listen to me and Nicole on Gaming with the Moms. Links are available for that on the site as well. And yes, as always, keep warm, people, because winter's here.
Don't throw stones at zombies.
And don't throw stones at zombies.